All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan, back here with more win projections. Dylan, we did the AFC on the last episode. Now we move on to the win projections for NFC teams. And as we did on that one, we'll go division by division here and just give some thoughts on some of these teams and what their projected win totals are. We start with the NFC East and the Eagles, 11.5. Their projection, or their projected win total here, that's the highest of any team in the NFC, and it is tied with the Chiefs and Bengals, I believe, Dylan, for the highest win projection total for any team in the NFL. So not surprising to see the Eagles there. Cowboys at 9.5. I know we're going to talk about that one here in a second. The Giants at 7.5. The Commanders at 6.5. So that's where things stand with the NFC East. And, again, Dylan, not a surprise to see the Eagles here at the top. Cowboys 9.5, definitely, I think, the most interesting number in this group.
Yeah, I understand the Giants number being a bit maybe lower than you would have expected for a team that made the playoffs last year. But this is, you know, kind of like the Vikings. We'll get to the NFC North briefly. But a team that did not feel like they, despite their record, were necessarily going to be a real contender to get anywhere past where they did, which was the divisional round. You saw them against the Eagles in the playoffs, and just overall when they faced better competition throughout the year. Some opponents that beat early in the year we thought were going to be better, like when they beat the Packers, like, oh, it's a big moment for the Giants. Obviously, the Packers only make the playoffs. So, I kind of understand the bottom ones there. But, yeah, the Eagles and Cowboys, interesting to me, there's a two-game gap there. The same Aaron Schatz, DVOI projections I always look at every year that really help me with these kind of things have the Cowboys with the tied for with the Niners for the highest win total in the entire NFL, just a little over 11 for their average projected wins. They're expected to be a top three DVOA team on both offense and defense. I mean, if you do that, have decent special teams, you're going to win a lot of football games. With the schedule that's kind of in the middle of the pack, it's supposed to be 13th, whereas Philly, unlike last year where we knew there, we thought there was going to be a jump, and there certainly was for this team. And they had an easy schedule, one of the easier ones in the entire league. They end up going 14-3. Maybe a lot to ask them to go above that number. I think if this was at 10.5, I'd feel pretty good about going over. But, man, I think they nailed this one. The win average total that DVOA has within their simulations has them at 10 wins. So I'd feel bad about it, but 11-6 season doesn't sound out of the realm of possibility. I mean, I still think this offense and the offensive line is an absolute unit. This number, 11.5 feels exact. Like, I would have a hard time kind of going either way and feeling good about it. I'd probably take the over because I like to be a little optimistic, and I did enjoy last year them fulfilling everything we talked about with the Eagles in the preseason. They're still supposed to have a pretty good defense. I know at times that, you know, losing Hargraves to San Francisco is going to be a tough pill to swallow, but I still think this team has, they're just such a deep unit. They do lose some guys in secondary. They got some cheap acquisitions that end up, you know, at pretty premium positions there that made a big difference. They've had a couple injuries in camp, but I still believe in the Eagles. There's a clear separation. I know the Giants kind of stuck around last year and obviously made the playoffs, but this is a division, and this is not an uncommon thing in this conference to have divisions that are basically split down the middle. The Commanders, I'm excited to see what Eric Bieniemy does there. It's been a fiery camp by all accounts with how everything's gone. I think their defense has a chance to be pretty good, though. I know they kind of fell back to earth the last couple years. Still, you hold out hope of those flashes of what the 2020 team was able to do and winning the division. They're projected to have the fifth best DVOA on that side of the ball. And it's not overly surprising when you think about the personnel they have. It's just, can the offense just formulate something? Seeing Terry McLaurin get injured, hopefully not badly, with his toe there, that preseason game earlier this week, it's a little scary, but I think they're 6.5, you know, seems like, you know, might be right on. But for me, I mean, they have a schedule that's not exactly easy, but with the way their defense, I expect them to perform. I think they should be in a lot of games, and I don't think 7 wins is out of the realm of possibility. So the Cowboys are the one that I know, you, like you said, it's the most interesting one. To me, that's I'm going right now. If I was in Vegas, give me the over on that. Like, I'm feeling pretty good about this team, and, you know, maybe not winning, you know, the expectations for Dallas are always just kind of, you know, all over the place. And it's almost become like similar to in college football with Texas football. Like, it's Texas back at all these times, and there's always a lot of hype. But at some point, they're probably going to break through with all the recruiting they do, right? And the Cowboys, are they going to break through eventually? I don't know about in the playoffs, but I feel pretty good, dang good about them getting to the playoffs again. What they do there will be a separate conversation. But it's a pretty complete team. They've drafted well. Excited to see what some of these guys do. I know they still have – you'd like them to have a little more depth in the receiving game and even at running back, but Deuce Vaughn's look pretty dang good in the preseason. You feel a little bit better than you did maybe going into the preseason with Zeke's departure. But overall, yeah, maybe I'm just being way too high on Dallas, but I think this is a two-team race, and both teams are ultimately, in my opinion, going to be 10-plus win teams. The only question is if the Eagles can get over that 11.5 there.
Yeah, AFC East, NFC West are the divisional tie-ins for this this one here. So, I mean, again, that's a tough slate just when you add those two to the mix. But I think with the Cowboys, they start off at the Giants, primetime game to start the season. They get the Jets at home, got to go to Arizona, Patriots at home. I mean, look, there's a great potential there for them to be 4-0. I would think they'll be favored in all four of those games. And so, you know, then you got to go to San Francisco and you go to play the Chargers. And then things get a little bit interesting from there. But, you know, look, you still got games on there, as we said, against, you know, Washington and at Carolina and, you know, those kind of games. So I would probably with you, I think, I don't know how much further I would go over if I'd give them 10 wins, but I think I can get them to 10 and feel pretty good about that. I mean, the Eagles, as you said, sort of it's a similar situation because, you know, it is looking at the schedule and there are some tough opponents on there, but you also, you know, get kind of those situations where you've got like Tampa on there, which we fully expect Tampa to be much worse this season, you know, just kind of given the structure of where things are. You've got kind of – I think the Eagles have – probably, and of course I couldn't do this on top of my head, but if you just compare schedules, right, I think the Eagles may have the most interesting four game stretch. Actually, I take that back, Dylan. 5-game stretch of any team in the entire NFL, and it makes sense for a team that got the Super Bowl. They play the Cowboys on November the 5th. They get a bye after that. The Cowboys game is in Philadelphia. They go to Kansas City on November the 20th. They host the Bills on November 26th. They host the 49ers on December the 3rd. They go to Dallas on December the 10th. That's a 5-game stretch right there. That is just loaded with potential, you know, Super Bowl-type teams. Three of them, I haven't looked at the odds lately, but I would have to think the Chiefs, Bills, and 49ers are among the highest odds to win the Super Bowl of anybody, and the Eagles probably in there too. So that's a wild stretch of games there that can make or break your season. But really, I think when you look outside of that, there's a lot of games they can navigate and pick up some wins. So, yeah, pretty high on the Eagles and Cowboys again this season. So,
yeah, I think, I mean, the thing is about last year, too, a lot of talk, as I mentioned, about the easy schedule, but Jalen Hurts just took such a big step as a passer.
Yeah.
And I don't think it wasn't a fluke. It wasn't just because he had a good offensive line and, you know, arguably the best 1-2 receiving punch you could. I know there's some other teams that would like to put themselves in that argument, but I think they're right up there with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. But yeah, that. It's the schedule is the most dictating thing for I believe the Eagles are a great team. I still think they're one of a few top Super Bowl contenders in this conference. But like you mentioned, that 5-game stretch is just absolutely daunting, even for a team of their caliber. I think they'll find a way still to win those games, or, you know, win a better portion than they lose at least. And they're the kind of team, as we saw last year, the great teams take care of business against their poor opponents. So as much as I they mentioned being kind of excited about what Washington can do to be a potential over, and still think the Giants are maybe a little bit better than even if I, you know, maybe the 7.5 feels about right. I think the Eagles are going to take care of it. That's 4 wins in my opinion right there. But yeah, this, it's just tough when you're facing the Chiefs and then also the entire AFC East. I mean, that 5-game swing you're getting from the other conference doesn't make it easy on you. In addition to, we saw last year they took care of business with Minnesota, but Tampa Bay is not the division reigning division winner that they get from their NFC South opponent. I think they'll take that one. So they have enough wins where, oh man, that one's, it's going to be tough, but I don't know. It's going to be a fun season as a neutral fan and maybe more of a roller coaster for the Eagles overall, but I still think at the end of the day, this is one of the best teams in the league. And in my opinion, I don't think there's really a chance of them falling way too low. It's just, can they get 12? That's 12-5 is not, it's not an easy task in the NFL, even in the NFC.
All right. Now let's get to something that I don't know that I ever thought we'd kind of discuss here on this podcast. An NFC North where the Lions are projected at 9.5 wins and everybody else is below them. The Lions, 9.5. The Vikings, 8.5. Packers, 7.5. Bears, 7.5. I think it's safe to say, Dylan, since this podcast existence, we've never talked about this with the Lions, I think, is the front runner to win the division. But here they are, a full game ahead of everybody else, two games ahead of the Packers and Bears. And so, you know, sets up a very interesting dynamic here. If you're a betting person, which we are not professional bettors, but boy, it seems interesting to think about the thought of being all in on the Lions over 9.5 and them getting to 10 wins. But I tell you, when I look at their schedule, I think there is absolutely a very realistic possibility that they do just that because, you know, may not start off pretty at the Chiefs on game one. But when I keep looking down the schedule the rest of the way, Falcons in Detroit, Panthers in Detroit, at Tampa, Raiders in Detroit, Bears in Detroit, Packers in Detroit, Broncos in Detroit, you know, I just keep going down this and I'm like, there's a lot of potential here for this Lions team. And we talked about it last year, kind of the emergence of this franchise. I tend to think that I would probably be someone that feels pretty good about going over with the Lions. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say this, Dylan, to wrap up everybody else. I don't know what to do with these other three teams because I think there is a wide range of possibilities for all three of these teams. And I think we may have talked about this on the previous episode. This, to me, may be the hardest division to pick in terms of predicting a 1-4 order of finish. I have no idea what combination this could be. And I think it kind of shows that with these teams only being two games apart, essentially, in the win projections, all four of these teams.
Yeah, earlier in the offseason, it kind of the conversation was a little bit of maybe a separation with the Lions and Vikings in some order above the Packers and Bears, but it started that bridge has started the gap has started to come together there, and I think it starts kind of with the Packers. They're a team at 7.5 here, as you mentioned, that right now has a 9.3 projected win total from Aaron Schatz's DVOA projections, which is an indication mostly of this defense being kind of middle of the road, but also the offense wasn't, you know, still was able to get almost to the playoffs last year with some subpar play. And, you know, with Jordan Love, he's not, you know, trying to expect anything like what we saw from Aaron Rodgers, even his first year. And Aaron Rodgers' first year, if I'm not mistaken, the Packers went first year starting, taking over for Brett Favre. They went 6-10. So that would put them under this. But I have maybe overly just because their schedule is the third easiest projected in the league. Same way you kind of mentioned with Detroit, I think they're more like 10th easiest based on the how the projections look. But I think we're going to see some inflation with those win totals for them. I still don't, you know, as much as I want to be excited about the Bears, and I know I've talked a lot about the Vikings being a team that was, you know, playing way over their heads record-wise compared to what all the advanced numbers show. In the regular season, they didn't lose a one-score game. Of course, they finally do in the wild card round of the Giants. In Chicago, as much as I want to believe in some of the things they're building, and I think they're taking positive steps. I thought they had a good draft. By all accounts, Darnell Wright has looked amazing in camp. He definitely looked great in that first preseason game. I still think the Bears have some work to do defensively overall and just roster-wise. I think it's going to take a sec. So 7.5 for them feels a little optimistic. They have the lowest projected win total by Aaron Schatz's DVOA projections at 5.4. So they're probably going under there. The Lions are right on, basically. They got, I think it's 9.7. So like you said, it's easy to find the wins there. The thing with the Lions is, can they have the same health in the offensive line? That offensive line was one of the best in the league, and I think you just see the difference in Jared Goff's play, as we know historically, going back to those Rams days too, when there was pressure coming in his face and teams started to kind of figure things out with how to defend the Rams, especially after just Super Bowl 53 with Bill Belichick, but also the Bears, you know, Vic Fangio in the regular season that year kind of put the clamps down on that explosive offense. I think Jared's grown as a quarterback, and I think he's even better than he was then. But still, you know, those first few weeks without Jameson Williams, and, you know, maybe as much as I do like some of the receivers they have, I don't know if it's the deepest receiving room after Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, I mean, if they can but I'm so excited to see, obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs. I think the defense really took strides and has a chance to be way better than they were last year. I think they finished in 28th in DVOA last year. middle of the pack is not, I don't think, is hard to imagine with the talent that they have and the emergence of some of these guys. I mean, that number is a little deceiving because in the second half of the season, you really saw Aiden Hutchinson step up his game to another level. I think the secondary has a chance to get better, bringing in guys like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Cameron Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley. I mean, not maybe not the most dominant and like flashy names, but guys that are pretty solid. So we think the hype train's kind of crazy right now. Imagine if they beat the Chiefs on opening night, what the hype for the Lions is going to, it's going to just explode. I'm not necessarily predicting that. We'll see when we get to that predictions episode. But I think that there's the 9.5 is probably close to right on, but I think there's just there's more instances of seeing this as a double digit win team than there are not. I think 10-7 is a pretty good target, and I think that's probably good enough to win this division unless the Vikings can pull, if Kirk Cousins can pull more magic out again and lead a team that was 27th in DVOA to 13 wins. There could be the 1-4, even with the Lions, I think I wouldn't be completely shocked. I'd be probably pretty surprised if the Bears won this division. I'm probably pretty shocked, but I wouldn't be surprised if any of the other three, even if I feel way better about where the Lions are, if you told me that Jordan Love was going to be a little above average and the Packers were, with a lot of the drafting and depth that they have, and finally the defense kind of clicks, I wouldn't be shocked if they went 9-8 and maybe that's all it takes to win this division. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm still, right now, the Lions feel like the safest pick to me, which is insane. Like you said, it's not something we've really ever said much on this podcast. As much as I don't want to just seem like a Vikings hater, but I feel like the Packers are the weird one to me that just like maybe there's just the schedule wise too, a much easier schedule than the Vikings. I think they're like 15th, whereas Green Bay is third easiest again. And just a lot of the kind of ranges of their outcomes seem to be more in that 9-10 range or 8-10 range, whereas the Lions maybe are more 9-11. So it's closer than these games are going to be really fun. Even if this isn't the strongest division by any means, I wouldn't say it's the weakest in the NFL. We're going to have to talk maybe about the weakest.
I was going
to
say.
Unless we count the AFC South there. But maybe a little more excitement for this top end of what it could be. And I know maybe some people are excited for the fresh blood with the Lions, and I am one of those for sure. But maybe the Packers, for all the years that everyone thought maybe they'd take a step back. I don't know. We'll get to when we talk about our division predictions. I'll talk a little more about Green Bay, but maybe I'm just way too high on what this roster kind of looks like. And maybe it's not necessarily a prove it year. It's going to be a prove it years for Matt LaFleur to see what he can do without Rodgers. But I'm excited. I'm kind of excited for what Green Bay has built along the offensive line and just overall as a roster.
All right, so you kind of alluded to this, but I'm not going to say there's going to be a lot of people excited about the NFC South, but here's what I will say, is that I think there is at least a lot of intrigue for every single one of these teams in maybe not a Super Bowl contender type way, but it is that there are a lot of interesting storylines here. So the Saints are at 9.5 on the projected win total, Falcons 8.5, Panthers 7.5, Bucks at 6.5. But if you go down the list, right, it's like, okay, you've got the Derek Carr with the Saints, all right? So can he make the Saints, a Super Bowl contender? Can he do that? The Falcons are interesting in their own right. You've got young players in place there. I think some feel like, all right, maybe this is kind of that potential breakthrough season for the Falcons in this division specifically. Not saying it's a breakthrough in terms of winning the NFC or anything, but just in this division. The Panthers have Bryce Young. That's enough to garner a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And then the Bucks, in a very bizarre way, a Baker Mayfield taking over Tom Brady storyline that you just would have never expected in the history of the NFL. But here it is. And so I think in a different way, this is one of the more entertaining potentially divisions in the NFL, although like you said, could be the weakest in terms of the number of wins produced, which we saw how that turned out last year. But I'll give the NFC South a little bit of credit. I think there's at least some storylines. They're a lot of fun to think about, even if you're talking about an entire division that I want no part of from a betting win projection standpoint, here it is. Like, there's no way I could safely feel great about these teams. And just for the schedule tie-in, we've already talked about this, but they're going to get the NFC North and they're going to get the AFC South,
yeah.
Which again feels very similar. I'm not saying that the divisions are similar necessarily, but it feels similar in that we just said it. There's a lot of teams that we feel like there could be a very wide range of possibilities for those eight teams that they, mm-hmm. you know, are, that are part of those two divisions. And then you add in the other games that are on there as well. So I guess the best way to put it, Dylan, is I would stay far away from these kind of win totals in the AFC South, because I just think there's too many elements that you just don't know how this is going to turn out for all these teams.
Yeah, you brought up one of the things I was going to mention, though, that the strength of the schedules really plays in the favor of us getting maybe some inflated records for at least one, yeah. two teams. And it's definitely, I think, the Saints and Falcons are, at this point, the two that there's a reason that they're at the top of this list in terms of their win totals. I would have maybe flipped Tampa and Carolina in terms of the 7.5 and the 6.5, mostly because I still think Tampa has at least a solid enough defense and still has enough good players to be in that kind of, like, I feel, man, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe Carolina for me is the issue there, is I think their offense is still going to, as much as I want to be excited about Bryce Young, I think it's going to take a second. Still don't know overall that line's quite ready. I know they were able to run the ball pretty well at times last year, but just, I don't know. I'm a little concerned. I'd like that number a lot more if they're at 6.5 about going over. 7.5 feels like an under for me. But for me, overall, just not just based on the schedule, though, New Orleans and Atlanta feel like the strongest two teams in this division. What that means for their actual competitiveness for the NFC crown overall, I don't know. I think their ceiling is probably winning this division and maybe winning a playoff game from there. But Atlanta's defense projected to be 10th. That is not something it's not since we started this podcast, not even for a few, even when they were, you know, made the Super Bowl. I don't know exactly where they finished in DVOA. It's probably around there. But the thing about them is they have the second easiest schedule, and guess who's the easiest? The Saints. So these teams, like you mentioned, playing the AFC South, playing their own division, and then playing the North and the NFC, you're getting a lot of good cross, out of division games. They're going to play into your favor. We saw Atlanta at times. I mean, we've seen also in the preseason at times Ridder look okay. I mean, we saw Mariota more so go from Atlanta to not looking so great in his outing so far for Philadelphia. So, I mean, maybe they do have kind of, it's going to be a lot of two tight end, three tight end, two back situations for Atlanta. This is not going to always look like the most traditional football team under Arthur Smith. We knew what he did to make have so much success as the offensive coordinator in Tennessee with a lot of the heavy personnel. It's a lot of just big guys on this team too. Like looking at the roster, their offensive line, these are all massive humans that they've assembled, and receiving corps that I think Drake London's is legit. I think that Pitts, even for the things that we hold at high expectations, maybe just where he's drafted and those expectations have dictated that narrative around him, I think he's still solid and still can produce a lot. They still, you know, still have concerns overall, obviously, at quarterback here. But this team, because of the easy schedule, because of the idea of, you know, just defensive personnel they bring in, I believe it's Bates, right, that they got from Cincinnati, and what that can mean for the back end of their defense. They're projected to have a little over 10 wins by Aaron Schatz's DVOA projections, with the Saints just a little bit lower at 10, exactly 10.1 and 10. So, I mean, they're like neck and neck. I don't know if, again, those records, if they do get to that 10 win range, are really going to be indicative of their real strength. If you put them in the AFC, I don't think you're picking either of them to make the playoffs. But in the NFC, we'll see when we get to our predictions episode, but there's a chance I'm going to go with two teams from this division making the playoffs. And it's just because the schedules and, the Saints, I don't know if this was, there's a conversation there to be about, was this the best case or the best thing to do for their longevity? They just seem so determined to be middle of the pack team and not, you know, kind of tear things down. Mickey Loomis and that whole organization seemed pretty hellbent on staying relevant. And I still think Derek Carr is pretty solid. I don't know how solid, but we'll see if the offensive line and different things can help him out there. But you know, I think the Saints are still going to be fine. They basically came right down to the end of the season last year, right? Like they were in the playoff hunt the same way. Like obviously the division wasn't strong, but I think with a lot less solid or stable quarterback play than they might be able to get this year, And a team that still has solid players on the defensive side. I don't think it's completely fallen off. So it's maybe a more interesting division, and maybe one that, even if I was saying a second ago, is this one of the weaker ones? I think record-wise, it's not necessarily going to be the case. I think they're going to really benefit from having the two easiest projected schedules in the league, and that'll get these teams up to maybe not, if they get to 10, that's great, but I think 9 to 10 wins will be what it takes to win this division, and that might be all it takes to get into a wild card spot in this conference.
All right, NFC West. You want to talk about the widest range of any division I think we've talked about so far, maybe. I'm going back to the AFC. Yeah, definitely widest range, and that is because the Cardinals are in this division. And the NFC West, the 49ers, 10.5, the number here. The Seahawks, 8.5, Rams, 6.5, Cardinals, 4.5. So pretty clear separation in terms of the betting win projections here with these teams. We've got two games in between each of them. Like I said earlier, the 49ers, I think, are pretty much a team that, should be winning a lot of games based on, I think, this schedule and, again, maybe just this division, just looking at it from that standpoint. We did talk about some interesting games they'll have outside of it. They play the Cowboys at Levi's Stadium there. They've got the Bengals as well. They got to go to Philadelphia. They've got the Ravens in Levi's Stadium. So it's just a note, some of those games outside of the division, they got to go to Pittsburgh to start the season. But, yeah, I mean, look, Dylan, I think this is one that probably I would feel a little bit better about. I think the Seahawks are – I don't know how I feel confident either way on them at the 8.5. You know what I'm going to say next. The Rams, I think I'm going to go over 6.5. because I tend to think they bounce back. But again, though, when you look at the schedule, man, there's a lot of, think about the opening part of the schedule here. At Seattle, home against San Francisco, at Cincinnati, at Indianapolis, which I've got to believe they can win that game. Home against Philadelphia, though. And so, I mean, you know, they're going to be the underdog in four of their first five games. If not all of them, I don't think they're going to be the underdog against the Colts. Could be, I suppose. But for their first five, they're going to be the underdog just from a betting standpoint. And so after that, you got the Cardinals, which should be a win, and we could go down the whole schedule. But, it's not easy to find enough, but I think they get to 7 at least. And I know you were kind of joking. Maybe the worst thing would not be – maybe it is them getting to 7 or 8. Maybe just decide to win 4 and load up with draft choices. But, I think this is one that – I'd probably bet the over on the Niners, perhaps. Cardinals, it's like, surely you can't bet the under, but at the same time, I look at their schedule, I'm like, yeah, I guess you kind of can. The Rams are the one I find most interesting here.
Yeah, they're definitely the one that's has the widest range of opinions. I guess there are some pundits and analysts that are thinking maybe San Francisco, with the questions at quarterback, might not quite live up to the last few years. I'm definitely not one of those people. I believe in everything they've built there and the sustainability of that defense, even if the offense they just have so many playmakers. I don't think, as much as whatever the narrative of Brock Purdy and how good he actually is, whatever, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, I think he's going to be just fine. And that might be more than enough to carry this team to 12 plus wins. I'm going over for sure. Yeah, they're projected right with Dallas, tied for the highest projected win total in the entire NFL. Schedule for them, just based on projections, ends up being a little bit easier at 21st compared to, as you mentioned, with the Rams there at 12th. I think the Niners they're going to be a top five defense. Where they are in that top five could be one, could be five, whatever it is. And I think they're still a top 10 offense. That's in the NFC. That's going to lead to plenty of wins. Yeah, they always do this too. You look at the early part of their schedule. They start out with a few tough, not like overly, they'll probably be favored in most of these games outside of maybe Dallas. And even then they probably would be favored at home. But there's just not like outside of, they play Cincinnati, they play obviously Seattle twice and Philly, but there's a lot of winnable games on San Francisco's schedule as you went through it all. And then Baltimore, a tough Monday night game, but if they just win half the kind of tougher games, I think they're going to take care of business against most of the other opponents. Just have too much faith in all the talent that they've assembled there. And obviously adding Hargrave to that defensive line is just frightening to imagine. Seattle, as you kind of talked about, that feels a little right. I don't know. I think that there's a chance that they're going to – I would go over on that I feel a little bit better about them because I think the defense is going to be better. I don't think the offense is going to fall off as well as much as DVOA at least projects them to be at 26. That seems quite low to me with some of the receivers they have. We'll see if Jackson Smith and Jigbuzz can be healthy. I know he might miss the opening part of the season after the injury he suffered in the preseason in camp, but still, that's a mighty fine receiving corps. I think Geno's pretty has proven, at least, even if he's not going to be a top, you know, end quarterback, he can be in the middle of the pack and maybe above average. So I feel pretty good with about the opponents that they get also in this division with the Rams and Cardinals. Like you said, the Cardinals, I don't know what you do there, because 4.5 is just so low. I know that I think most projections have them to be, you know, there's a reason here on the betting line. People don't know if they really even want to win because of the fact they have their own first round pick. Obviously, they have the Texans first round pick. They're two of the three by Aaron Schatz DVOA projections, two of the three worst teams projected in the league. They're clearly looking forward to potentially getting a Caleb Williams, a Drake May, and, you know, moving on from Kyler. I don't think that's even if they're not going to say that publicly, obviously, that seems like something that could happen there. And it's just a team that I think everyone on the schedule, when they see Arizona this year, is going to feel pretty good about. Maybe Gannon's able to use some of the players on defense a little more efficiently. Isaiah Simmons is a guy that we've talked about that's never been, or for the most part hasn't been used to his strengths. I think they'll use him a lot more in zone and let him actually thrive just as an athlete out there. So I'm excited to see some of those kind of things, see what they start to build for when they come up again. But I think I'm staying away from 4.5 because it's just, I think they'll go under, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're a 5-12 team. Now, yeah, like the Rams, obviously the team I care about the most and pay attention to more than any. I'm going to tell you, the defense, I don't think it's going to be good. I think even if they do take a step forward on offense, even if they have a lot more health along the offensive line, and that's not always guaranteed, but some guys, their first or one of their first draft picks from last 2020. Two, Logan Bruss has looked pretty rough in the preseason. Havenstein hasn't, as much as he's the staple and the kind of the long-standing guy along that offensive line, I wouldn't say he's necessarily a dominant right tackle. I just still have concerns that offensive line is going to be maybe healthier, but how good can it be? I'm not positive. Obviously, they need Cooper Kupp to stay on the field. I'm excited about a number of players on that side, and I think Stafford being healthier and just finding ways to keep him from getting hit so much and hopefully running the ball a bit more, bringing in Mike LaFleur. There's plenty of things on the offensive side of the ball I think will be better, even if they're projected 23rd in DVOA. It isn't so, on top of that. But I think the defense outside of Aaron Donald is so thin. There's just so many guys that are unproven at really key spots. As much as you could, anything you want to say about Kobe Durant, some of the defensive backs that they have, yes, they're going to be solid guys, but are they on the level of the star power that we're used to with this team? They're projected to have the third worst defense in the league by DVOA, and at the schedule, like you mentioned, especially early on, I mean, even the home games, like as much as when they are at least one of the top teams in the NFC, they're able to at least compete with the crowds of San Francisco and Philadelphia fans. Those are going to be pretty. There's going to be a lot of Eagles and Niner fans in LA on those days. And then they get Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh always travels so well. So, I mean, you're playing a tough schedule where those outside, those first eight games, I mean, I think really Arizona and Indy are the only two I think they can win. Maybe they do pull something out and the offense really goes off and they're able to win one more. But I think a 2-6 start isn't out of the realm of possibility. And maybe the schedule's not as tough the rest of the way, but still a team that I think they're just really in transition. I'll be pleasantly surprised if they go over 6.5. But as you mentioned, is that the best thing for them? I think a 7-8 win season, I mean, maybe that's fine if Stafford's able to stay healthy for long term and for a number of years. It's just year to year, it's going to be tough there. So, I mean, next year, whole different conversation. Looks like they're going to keep a lot of their draft picks, how they actually capitalize on those. And figure out this year exactly who's going to stick around for 2024. I think this is a necessary thing, but I don't know. 6.5 feels right. I wouldn't necessarily. I'm not feeling super well about them going over. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but I don't think this is a playoff team, even in the NFC. I think the realm of their range of outcomes puts them more in that, you know, 5 to 8 win range, way more than 9+. And I don't think, even in the NFC, I don't think 8 wins is going to get you to the postseason.
Well, there are thoughts on the NFC, which, as we said, should be very interesting to see how this unfolds in some of these divisions, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's just, as we said, it's the win totals are always interesting going into the season, but man, it feels like there's a lot of teams in the NFC where you're just like, what do you do with these teams? So not a lot of confidence, maybe a little more confidence on the AFC side, Dylan, because if I'm looking down 100%. The NFC side, I just don't see a lot that I'm confident in. Except
someone
maybe
has
the
to
count. Someone has to win, right? And I mean, like, I would probably go Cowboys over 9.5 is maybe my best choice, or most confident choice. Beyond that, I mean, honestly, it's strange to say, but I might go Lions over 9.5. Like, I think that's another one that may be my second one, because I just look at the schedule and I'm like, man, there's a lot of opportunity there for the Lions. But yeah, I think I'm staying away from the entire NFC South, NFC West. Yeah, I don't. Is it? I'd probably go Rams over, but I don't love that choice. And so, yeah, there's not a lot here for me that I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm all in on these. I don't see that on the NFC side.
I didn't mean to talk you out of the Rams. I'm sorry, but
I said I wouldn't go that much further over, but it just feels low to me. I wouldn't go that much far on that.
Yeah, so. I agree on the Cowboys. They're definitely my highest confident pick here. I expected, as we pulled up these lines, for them to be at 10.5. So to get 9.5, I think that's great value. I'm going over that. It's like I just said a second ago, someone has to win these games, but I feel more confident about some of the more pessimistic picks. As much as I'm excited to see what the Bears can do, I think 7 wins might be their peak. I think I'm going under 7.5 for them. I think I'm going under 8.5 for the Vikings. So there's 2 that maybe are on the lesser side. Packers, I'm still 7.5 feels right, basically right on. If I want to go for the biggest differences, as I kind of talked about in the AFC episode, between DVOA projections and these lines, that would tend to tell me that I should go with the Falcons as an over. But man, it's still the Falcons. It still feels like they could, as much as they should maybe take care of business against some of the teams in their division underneath them, the Panthers and Bucks. Will they? I don't know. The Saints Falcons game's always basically a coin flip, so they're a little bit tougher. I'm trying to think if I have like another really I'd go over on 10.5 in San Francisco and feel pretty dang good about it. They're probably next in line for me behind. This is just like the last episode where I was picking all the favorites to go above their really high over-unders. But I think 10.5, San Francisco, that's another one, kind of like Dallas, where I expected 10.5. I expected 11.5 for the Niners. I just think they're too talented, and they've proven that whoever's behind under center, this is not the same roster build as when they were, even when they had, you know, the C.J. Beathards of the world starting at quarterback, and they weren't necessarily winning games. Their roster was not that strong. Those years of losing helped them get guys like Nick Bosa. and some of the, even if they've had to reload with, you know, Buckner being gone, and some of the draft picks at the top, including Lance, we'll see what happens with him. I know, really up and down, first couple went from having a lot of struggles early in camp, and in the first preseason game, second one looks much better. So we'll see what happens with him, and hopefully he continues to get more reps here. But I just feel like whoever it is, it's Kyle Shanahan who I trust, and that defense who I trust. So 10.5, I'm going over for sure. I'm feeling good on that. Maybe the Seahawks, I'm going over. I don't know if that's how confident I am, but if I had to pick one more to add on, they're probably my next most I really do think they're at least a 9-8 team. I don't think they're going to fall off dramatically from what they did last year. And I think if anything, their defense should get better, and they have even more weapons on offense. I love Zach Charbonnet, obviously, the UCLA guy, and has just been running people over, needs to maybe chill the frick out, same way that DTR needs to chill out with all their trying to truck people. But I think Seattle has a chance to, in this conference, again, it's everything's relative. I think they have a chance to at least be a 9-win team and possibly a double-digit win team. I do want to say, like, how many of these teams, if you put them in the AFC, would you feel good about making the playoffs? 3?
Right. Yeah, there wouldn't be that many, would there?
Niners, yeah. Eagles, Cowboys. And even they're in the middle with a lot of really good teams. It's crazy how different the dichotomy is between the conferences.
Yeah, definitely a big difference. So if you want to get our thoughts, and which we're probably a little more confident in the AFC, You can check that out on our previous episode with our AFC win projections. Look at those. But that is our thoughts on the NFC. But for now, Dylan, lots of stuff to get everybody ready for the start of the season at Clutch Points. Let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, and go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL section. We have all of our season-long predictions starting to come out next week for every team so far, looking at roster cuts, guys in danger of losing their starting jobs, all that good stuff on the NFL. Tons of coverage of all the news, injury updates, basically anything going on. And then, yeah, with our fantasy section there at the top of the homepage, lots of content on outlooks for basically any player you'd be considering drafting, looking at sleepers, ADP values, all that stuff. And we'll get to our fantasy episode, I believe, next week here. And then, yeah, you can follow the rest, the final week of preseason, and then the beginning of the regular season, the Clutch Points app, and all of our content's in there as well. So, yeah, it should be getting close. You know, we got week zero college football games in a few days, even if Navy Notre Dame is the headliner. But at least football is here. It's great, and it's a good time. And very excited to finally get to week one for the NFL. A lot of anticipation coming up.
Yep. Check it all out at Clutch Points. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. And thanks, as always, for listening to the podcast. And we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.